Hi there. We'd like to welcome you to the virtual kitchen table. We are Erin from Everlearning, Haley from Taking a Kinder Path, and myself, Ashley, from Ashley as Mama and Storytime Shelves. We're gathering to have conversations about family life and home education, most specifically unschooling, which is sometimes known as self-directed education, or as I often refer to it, consent-based learning. We'll be sharing experiences and ideas, learning as we go. We hope you'll pull a chair up to the table and join us.
Welcome to another virtual kitchen table chat. And if you've heard these in the community before, you know that they're just an opportunity to have a kind of a roundtable conversation about unschooling or family life and in relation to a particular topic. So today's topic is beginning unschooling during the pandemic, which I'm quite curious about. I've been thinking about this for a while now. And so it might be the idea of choosing unschooling because of the pandemic, or it could also be, maybe families were already heading in that direction and it just sort of the timing happened to be over these past 2 years. So today I'm chatting with Ashley and Jenna, and they both have the experience of getting going in this journey during these past 2 years. So I'll let them introduce themselves and then we can dig into some ideas around the topic. So Ashley, do you want to go ahead?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks, Erin. And thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk to both of you, as you know, today. And I think the topic is really interesting. So I'm Ashley. I'm in Ontario, Canada, and we're a family of four. I have two young children. My oldest is eight, and my youngest is about to turn six really soon. So 8 and 5. And we started homeschooling when my oldest was in grade one. So we'll talk about that later and get into all of that. And we live here with our golden retriever. I always like to include the puppy as well.
Absolutely. And then Jenna?
Yeah, thanks for inviting me, Erin. And it's so nice to see you, Ashley, in person. So I'm Jenna Reich, and I have two children. One is 14 and one is 12. And we started homeschooling, during the pandemic, which is why we're here to talk to you guys. And we live in Arizona, and we formerly have been living in Europe for 7 years, which is kind of instrumental in our whole journey. So that's why it's relevant. And I hosted a podcast for the last couple of years about unschooling as I was learning about unschooling and trying to figure out whether it was the right fit for our family and also just wanting to learn everything I possibly could. And then I've recently switched over to going back to my photography business full time. So I'm a family photographer, and that's me in a nutshell.
Sounds good. And I guess I'll give a little bit of an intro too. So we're actually in our 19th year of home education, which just seems wild to me. So obviously this experience isn't one I know a lot about as far as kind of getting into the swing of things during the pandemic. So my three guys are now young adults, and I have a daughter still who's technically school age. So she's 16. So we're kind of still technically in the throes, of school age that way. I should also say I'm in Central Ontario in Canada. So same province as you, Ashley. And yeah, I started to, I've been interested in this topic from the beginning, because when I always say the pandemic hit, but you know what I mean, suddenly globally, there was this big shift. And prior to that, my feeling anyway, was that homeschooling was a little bit under the radar. So it didn't feel, people might ask kind of awkwardly about it. It wasn't something that people were knocking down your door asking about. And then, of course, schools are closed. And it was a really, I don't think I'm alone in this. Like, I've talked to lots of people. It was almost like, I don't want to say celebrity status, but all these people were suddenly calling people and emailing people and kind of like, what do we do? What would you suggest? What resources do you know about? And it was a bit overwhelming, to be honest, to go from sort of having a lifestyle that other people just sort of quietly tolerated to suddenly having, you know, people calling and actually wanting your perspective about it. So it was on the one hand overwhelming. On the other hand, it was a little bit exciting because I think typically homeschooling families, no matter what philosophy they're kind of engaged in, they're usually pretty excited to welcome new people. Like it's kind of like, yes, you're interested in this. Sure. Let me tell you all about it. Kind of, if anything, holding yourself back. So this opportunity to have people wanting to chat and talk about different ideas was actually kind of exciting as well. And so for me, my experience was that there were a few weeks that were, I just want to say it felt very unifying. It felt like everybody was kind of in the same boat, because even if you were a seasoned homeschooler or unschooler, you weren't used to this, you know, like we had very regular activities we were doing. So it just kind of felt like there was this sense of everybody, you know, exchanging ideas, and it just, I don't know, unifying is the best word I can think of. It just seems like everyone was kind of in it together. And then a few weeks later, I mean, I guess it depends on where you lived in the world, but I think when schools realized it was going to be more than, let's say, 3 weeks, they started introducing the virtual schooling. And it was interesting because what I noticed in the first few weeks is that even though people were a bit panicked, I felt like a few people were also a bit excited. I don't know, like when I was talking to coworkers and friends and neighbors, they were doing some cool things, right? Because at that time too, there was a lot of different online venues were putting things out for kids. Like they were doing read aloud Harry Potters and all kinds of stuff, right? So families were taking advantage of that and they were enjoying themselves and they were spending time together. And, you know, I remember one family in particular, just talking about all the neat things that they were doing. They, you know, they were going and tapping maple trees and they'd adopted a dog. So they were really researching a lot of things because the dog was missing a leg. And so they were just doing all these neat things. And it just seemed like such a positive time. And then when the virtual schooling started, I don't know, just kind of shifted. it, for me, anyway, that's how it seemed. It started to get much more stressful for a lot of people. And I think people were making a decision about whether to kind of, quote, buy into the virtual schooling or not. And then I think some people kind of had one foot in and one foot out because they'd had a taste of a few weeks of freedom. And then it was kind of like, oh, this is really hard to do from home with no planning, whatever. Yeah, so it just, and then I started to hear people really complain. And it was kind of like, how do you do this? This is awful. My kids need to be at school. You know, you're a saint for doing this. I thought we could do this, but we can't do this. And it just felt like there was a really big shift between that initial excitement, and then possibly a misunderstanding of what homeschooling could be and certainly unschooling. So, yeah. So anyway, it's just been interesting to kind of watch that process over these last couple of years, because of course some people ran with it and continued and other people didn't. And some people did a little bit of both. So that was one of the pieces that I just started getting curious about is, you know, what kind of led people to go one way or the other. So so I know we have a few talking points and I kind of jumped into one that's a little farther ahead, which kind of may be the way things go, but I don't know, does it make sense to just talk about where each of you found yourselves at the time that the pandemic started and kind of what your journey was a little bit?
Go ahead, Ashley.
Okay. Thank you. So where we were. So my two, I did take notes, but I mean, I think I can just tell our story. So feel free to interrupt, Erin, especially because you know me a bit. So if I leave something out or a specific question, please don't hesitate. My oldest was in grade one when the pandemic hit. And so my youngest wasn't school age yet. He was in preschool that we really liked, a lovely preschool that he went to only two mornings a week, and he didn't even get the full year in because of the pandemic. So I really say like he's not gone to school. But my oldest was in grade one. And I'm going to backtrack a little bit because my oldest, he did, so here in Ontario, Canada, we have junior kindergarten and senior kindergarten. And he started junior kindergarten when he hadn't even turned four yet. He had a couple weeks, the first couple weeks of school, he was three. And just, he felt way too young to be going and doing that. So we actually decided before he even started kindergarten, we wanted him to go part-time, which isn't really common around here. Usually if they go to kindergarten, especially before the pandemic, but I think even now it's pretty much you go full time. We went from half days to full days a number of years back for both kindergarten years here. And anyway, I just knew that, I am a teacher, so I'm somewhat familiar with how the system works. And I just knew that they don't have to go to school here until they're six. And I thought, well, I'm going to push the whole part-time thing because I think that makes sense and we'll kind of ease him into it because I think being gone all day every day is just way too much. And it didn't seem right for us. So we sent him. I tried to do Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then home days were Tuesday, Thursday. Overall, that went okay. That worked out all right. We did that for his first year of kindergarten. Then his second year of kindergarten, I kind of thought we're transitioning. We're easing into school, so we're going to try to go more. And so with like one home day a week or two when needed. And I was trying to be, you know, considerate of the teachers and knowing when he would be there, but also flexible and meet his needs. So I've been kind of thinking about homeschooling in the back of my mind, but it was never our plan. The plan was that we'd get both our guys into school full time and then I would go teach full time. So even though homeschooling was there, it's not common at all. I mean, it's just, I didn't know anyone who homeschooled, but it was there. The idea was there. We certainly were not against homeschool. And he did not like school. Even play-based kindergarten was not his jam. But we just thought, you know, he'll mature, he'll grow, and it never felt like a great fit. And then grade one came, which is the year the pandemic happened, and he was mostly going full-time. I definitely would give him home days here and there as much as I could, but it was a struggle. It was a struggle. We knew it wasn't a right fit. We could see why. And it was frustrating. And, you know, as parents, you just worry about these things. You want what's best for them. So when the pandemic hit and we had him home, we were obviously upset and stressed about the pandemic. But then there was this other piece of us. We were just like, it was like what we needed. It gave us the opportunity to try home education because we were forced to, we had to. and I was pretty grateful for that. That worked out well. So because he was grade one, he's the one I didn't worry about my youngest one at all. He was three when the pandemic hit. So I knew he was just content to play. But what I thought I would do, and I think it helped that he was in grade one, maybe because he was so young, it does seem to be a little bit easier for us to be more comfortable with play and learning through play. I don't know what it would have looked like if he had been older, if he had been in school longer. But I remember saying to my husband, this is going to be no sweat. This is going to be easy. I'm going to do like maybe not even a full hour a day of school and only going to focus really on reading, maybe a little bit of math. And I'm used to working with students one-on-one because I worked as a private tutor reading specifically. So I was like, this is going to be fine. It's going to be fun. I was excited. I think I sat down with him two, maybe three times before I was like, oh, this doesn't work for you. So I'm trying to think of where to leave it off, but really that was the very start where I tried a few times. And because we always had the attachment parenting lifestyle before that. So I think pretty early on when I saw that me sitting down and being like, we're going to do this activity now, even though it's a fun game, but it was hurting the relationship. He didn't want to do it. And I felt like, we're just going to get through it, buddy. And I'll make it fun. And we'll get this hour in. And it just, he was resisting it. And I didn't understand. I didn't have the understanding of all the natural learning and stuff yet. That came a bit afterwards. I stopped pretty quickly because I've always put our relationship first, or at least I've always tried to. That's always felt right to me. And I've always tried to listen to that. And I could tell, I mean, I knew him and this just wasn't going to be the way to go, but I didn't know what it was going to look like afterwards. I was fine with just leaving it and saying, okay, that's not working. So we're not sitting down an hour a day to do school. We'll figure something else out. And I think pretty, if not too long after that, I read Dr. Peter Gray's Free to Learn book. And I think I read that book at the right time. I know that a lot of people are in this community are familiar with his work and maybe that book. That was the book for me. I think I read it at the right time to lean into that, trusting him, both of my children, more in their learning and that it will happen. And the forced learning isn't the only way, maybe not the best way. And from there it was listening to podcasts and just, different books, blog articles, and really starting to hear more about what homeschool actually looks like at home. I can't remember when, I first heard the term unschool, but I think we ended up unschooling, or, you know, doing this self-directed learning approach naturally led by him very much so, before we knew what it was. And then I kind of discovered the term and everything, not too long afterwards, but a little bit afterwards. So Erin, does it make sense if I leave that off there?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's great. And I actually just, were you a primary teacher? Is that your age group, Ashley?
Yeah, primary, junior. So kindergarten to grade six. And I never worked as a full-time classroom teacher. Just occasional teaching. And then I actually left teaching for a while. And then I've come back to supply teaching, but yeah, little ones. And I worked one-on-one with students as a private tutor, specifically in reading. So a lot of younger kids there as well.
Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Okay. Jenna, how about you?
It's funny listening to your story, Ashley, because we have so many parallels, which is, I think we'll find a little pattern here, and I know we're only two people, but maybe this will shed some light, Erin, on the tendencies for people to either continue homeschooling or saying this isn't for me. And what I'm hearing is that people who maybe already had this type of mentality, you know, like this mindset about trusting children and want, like, take having the relationship as the priority, it felt natural then to homeschool, like more natural, I guess. So for us, I'll start with the pandemic, and then I'll also talk a little bit about our past so that it makes sense as to why we just abruptly had this decision. I mean, it's like a big decision to make, isn't it? So at the time of the pandemic, my son was in sixth grade and my daughter was in fourth grade. And in Germany, that's where we were located at the time. School is not optional. It's, you know, illegal to homeschool there. And so we, you know, we were doing the public school thing, and my kids were both on the, like in Germany, there are three different tracks, essentially, like three different types of schooling you can go to in your older years. And our son was in the gymnasium, which is like the college track. So it's kind of similar to what our U.S. schools would call college preparatory. And I don't know what that would look like in Canada, but it's pretty intense. It's a lot of, You know, they learn two languages. They have a full schedule, and then they have at the end of graduation is similar to what I would almost call a dissertation. I mean, it's like pretty elaborate, like tests that are verbal, written, and they're super stressful. They don't graduate until they're 19 in most parts of Germany. So anyway, that's the track that our son was on. So you can imagine he was kind of stressed out, although he was doing what most people would consider to be quite well. You know, he was a very, you know, he was a good student. And our daughter had just been recommended for the gymnasium as well. So she would have been going into this college preparatory track as well. And a couple things that happened right before COVID were my son had been experiencing like stomach aches for months prior. I mean, actually, if I really think about it, I think it had been going on for years, but it was just so sporadic at first. I didn't realize that this was actually a trending thing that got progressively worse. I just, you know, kids get stomach aches and, you know, but now in hindsight, I think, okay, now it was getting progressively worse. And I was having to pick him up once or twice every couple weeks from school early. And then he would come home and they would just magically disappear. Or, you know, we would have him get tested for like lactose intolerance. And, you know, we did all of these tests, his blood work to see if he had any deficiencies. And we tried eliminating grains. And I mean, just, you know, you go through the whole food stuff. Anyway, then the pandemic hit, and for him, the stomach aches completely subsided. He had none. And later I would find out and read a lot of articles about how stress can really, really affect the gut. And particularly in kids, it shows up a lot in the stomach. So his anxiety toward like having so much responsibility and having to juggle so many subjects, and the pressure just of like, okay, I'm on this college track and here are the, you know, it's almost like an adult expectation of them. And so that was eye-opening. And then for my daughter, she, when we went to this sit-down meeting with her teacher in fourth grade, so she's 9 at the time. So you have to imagine like a 9-year-old child being in a situation where she's being told what her future recommendation is from her teacher. I mean, it's so, now like thinking back, I'm like, how do they allow this? This is so like archaic. Oh my gosh. But anyway, when we were driving up to the school and parking, she was physically shaking. Her whole body was like having a response to the stress. And we got in and, you know, I knew she was going to get the recommendation. I mean, she had straight A's and, you know, she was a really good student and all of those things, but she was still like her knowing that about herself and then still thinking that maybe she wouldn't make it. I mean, it's just mind boggling to me. And then even thinking that it's bad if you don't get into the gymnasium is like a whole other level of, you know, I can't think of a word. It just, it's terrible. So that was our experience just before the pandemic hit. I mean, this happened, you know, weeks before the pandemic hit. And then she was, they both were home, obviously. So things were amazing the first few weeks. They didn't really have a lot of school stuff to do because the teachers were like, I don't know what we're doing, you know? So there was nothing. They just hung out. And my daughter is the most creative, most incredibly imaginative person I've ever met. And so she was just doing all kinds of stuff. You know, she was out in the garden and she was making potions and she was making cardboard boxes into castles and she was drawing and painting. And I mean, she just lit up, you know, she just was, I felt like I had my daughter back from, you know, her first grade year. And then for my son, he just was like chillaxing, like playing video games nonstop and like, you know, just living the life. He was so happy. So I don't know. It just, we all just really like, it was like a breath of fresh air to have that break. And so I'll go back a little bit to, I also was, when they were really small, like I was very much into natural parenting and, you know, adamant about having a natural birth, adamant about breastfeeding, adamant about like, child-led weaning and, just all of the things of intuition, you know, like basing my maternal decisions on what felt right. And so, you know, school was one of those things that it was challenging. It was a juggling act. And when Logan first started his kindergarten year, I went and I volunteered in the classroom because I thought, okay, I kind of want to see what's going on. And we just put him in a regular public school. And we pulled him from that school in October. So we start our school year in August and we pulled him in October. So that was already the start of me being like, I don't think this is gonna work. And he was fine. He was absolutely fine. He didn't complain. He liked school, but I didn't like it because I came into the classroom and the kids were perfectly obedient. She had 35-year-olds and they were sitting so quietly and nobody was talking. And I was like, this is so unnatural. This is not, I mean, I taught in my years too. I'm an educator and I, you know, I had like a play-based approach. So my kids were like wild and all over the place. And I'm like, this is not what I'm used to. So, and so we switched him to like a play-based kindergarten at that point. And then we moved to Germany like just a few months after that. So he didn't have a huge experience here in the States. And then in Germany, we had to just follow those, you know, the public school regimen. But in that time, I will say I went and visited a Montessori school in Germany. I went to visit a Waldorf school, and I even went to see a free school in Frankfurt, which is now in hindsight, I realize it's unschooling in a school. But it would have been like an hour drive for us from where we lived. So anyway, all that to say that this was all like something I had already, I didn't like in, you know, I didn't feel good about the public school system ever. It was just forced upon me. We had to do it. And then that was our impetus to like decide if we were going to make a lifestyle change. And so I can stop there or I can tell you what we did.
You can go ahead and tell us what you did if you want to,
okay,
Jenna.
Okay.
Don't stop.
So yeah, we made a huge, crazy decision to move to another country. And we moved to England first because it was like a happy medium between going all the way back to the US where I'm from and leaving my husband's home country, which is Germany. We just weren't ready to make that commitment to go all the way back home. I mean, home, I say my home. And then we, you know, a year later, it was not working. And, you know, that a lot of that we can talk about, it has a lot to do with the pandemic. So, I don't recommend moving to a foreign country when you're in a pandemic. It's not a good idea. So we're back in Arizona and one of our kids is still unschooling and the other one has chosen to go back to school. And there's a lot of reasons for that. So we can talk about that a lot. I actually haven't talked about that at all publicly. So there's a lot behind her decision and it was very challenging the last 2 years. So.
Oh, I'll bet. Okay. Well, yeah. One of the talk points we had, I wonder if this might lead into it. And it was, it actually came from, so a co-host of Stories of Unschooling Families Community, Noelle, who didn't end up being able to log in here today, but she had been curious, you know, so there's a pandemic and you decide to homeschool and that's already a step. And so the idea that, you know, to move to the far end of the continuum and for that to be unschooling, I think she was curious about that. So what kind of, you know, why unschooling rather than kind of just taking the next incremental step, you might say, to homeschooling? And then what, you know, does that make it even more difficult to kind of for other people to get their heads around. It just, she was curious about that, you know, just kind of going to that other end. And if that actually made it easier, do you think, or maybe more difficult? It probably depends on lots of factors, right? But yeah. So I don't know if Jenna,
I'm happy to let Jenna go.
Okay.
Okay. Why unschooling? Well, we tried doing a curriculum. I purchased a curriculum, and it was actually also very nature-based. You know, it was very light in terms of how curriculum goes. But it was awful. We were crying. The kids were crying. They were arguing and fighting, and they hated it. I mean, they really, really truthfully just despised me for making them do it. And then I don't know that they were getting much out of it, Erin. Like, I'm a teacher. And so I, you know, I'm versed in like objectively looking at how learning is taking place and seeing if it's sticking. And I just, it was funny because we'd be out like just at the park, you know, and I would notice that, you know, my daughter might find a bird sitting on a tree or something. And then she'd be like, oh, did you notice that the bird had this coloring and da, da, da. And we would have a chat about it. And then we would be like, oh, I wonder if the nest is nearby. And, you know, these conversations just naturally happen. Just kids are curious and we talk about things all the time, as most families do. And then we'd get home and it would be like in the curriculum that, you know, part of her curriculum was to sit down and like observe for 10 minutes nature in your backyard. And I'm like, we don't even have any nature in our backyard right now. So like, there's nothing to observe. And then I was thinking that 5 minutes in the park was basically this lesson that we would be fabricating. Like we would be creating out of nothing that isn't inspiring to them. Like it seems so forced. And then Erin, I was also thinking about my own life, you know, like how I've learned really, really important things, like even things about unschooling. You know, I did a podcast for 2 years and interviewed psychologists and researchers about it. That's how I learn. And that's how I get immersed in something. And now there's something existing in the world that other people can get information from. What if I had been forced to read like a textbook about unschooling? I can't imagine I'd have the interest that I have now, you know? And it just didn't make sense. Like logically, it just doesn't make sense to do a curriculum. And I just got so excited about self-directed learning that I just went over the edge. I like Ashley, I just consumed everything I could possibly consume: podcasts, books, blogs, like forums, Facebook groups, you know, just what else can I know about how children learn first and foremost? And then what are ways that we can facilitate that in our real lives? So that it was a natural progression, I guess, you know. And that made me excited. You know, look, I'm excited about it. Yeah. And the curriculum did not make me excited. None of us excited.
Well, it's interesting because I don't even know when Noelle was saying that to me, if she was even thinking about the fact, I'm sure she wasn't, that you both have teaching backgrounds. That made it even more interesting, actually. You kind of moved past that whole, you know, curriculum, or even maybe not even just curriculum, but the idea of, I don't know, kind of curating your learning environment, right? That you just kind of shifted right past that with both of you with teaching backgrounds is interesting, I think. Yeah. Ashley, how about you?
Yeah, you know what, just as you were saying that, I was thinking how many people during the pandemic would say to me, they'd find out, like once most of the kids went back to school, and they'd find out that ours were still at home, and I'd say, oh, we're still homeschooling. And sometimes in the conversation, it would come out that my background is teaching, and the automatic response every time was, oh, that's why you're homeschooling. Oh, that makes sense. Oh, that's why you can do this. And I would often just smile and nod or whatever. because it's interesting to me, I have found my teaching background in some ways anyway, has made the journey, like my deschooling process has been big. And it's ongoing. I'm nowhere near done because of that teacher hat, that, you know, all that conditioning and training. And but at the same time, I think it has helped in ways. There's something else I was thinking about. I want to ask you guys about this. I think it goes along with this too, because now I'm starting to wonder, I know there's more traditional homeschool families, I'm sure there's, you know, a whole range and variety, but now I'm like, I think like how many homeschool families are out there that are sitting down doing traditional school at the kitchen table 4 or 5 hours a day, or a lot of them really maybe more unschooly, right? Than we think. Cause I even notice now I follow like different people on Instagram and mostly Instagram probably, where I would have considered them not unschooling, but they're sharing a lot about unschooling stuff right now. So I'm like, okay, is there just awareness immersing around unschooling more and it's becoming more of a thing, or are people just talking about it more? So I've been curious about that. But I think a lot of what you said, Jenna, is we're so on the same page as to how we felt about all of it and what made sense and what didn't make sense as far as using a curriculum. I just found, I really, what you said, the curriculum got in the way. My idea of like a lesson got in the way. And I recognized that he had been learning, both my kids were learning so much before school was ever even a thing for us. So I kind of thought, I think we can just continue, because, and I don't think it's my teaching training that allows me to see what they're learning. I think any parent can see, you know, whether it's academic or social emotional, you can notice your kids. Sometimes you might have concerns or questions and you might want an outside opinion, but you can tell when they start telling time, or when they start reading, when their writing is progressing. So I think I just felt like I early on questioned, is the curriculum necessary? And I know why it's necessary for in school, but this wasn't school. This was at home, and it was just causing issues to the relationship. And I just felt like it was unnecessary. But same thing, I had to read the books and listen to some podcasts and listen to some other people and find this unschooling community to not think I was crazy. And that helped me a lot. I was like, oh, okay, this is a whole thing. And then, yeah, lots of excitement. Totally feel like I've been unschooling, because it's really fascinating to me, because I feel like there are a lot of people out there, a lot of ex-teachers who have gone this route or found themselves down this path and are very passionate about it, find it very interesting, which, so maybe there's a connection there too. But did that answer your question, Erin?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's funny. I'm just sitting here thinking, if I kind of compare that to my own experience, because I'm a pretty, so my background is social work, it's not teaching, and I have a pretty free flowing sort of personality. So for quite a few years, we started with an unschooling approach. We were, very self-directed, and then we did more, I mean, it was really by choice that we did a more structured, I would say, I mean, I'm just trying to think here timeline wise. I think we were about 10 years in and we bought some curriculum. So that gives you an idea. But I could see that my daughter particularly was interested in just some of the different things that she saw other homeschooling families do. And so we did a very few years of curriculum. And again, it was very much by choice. And there was a lot of, there was a lot of freedom involved in it for sure. But it's interesting. It was a good few years for us. And so I find whenever I hear unschooling people speak, usually the story is very similar to what you're saying. We tried curriculum. We didn't like it. It seemed forced. It seemed, I almost want to say artificial, but often it's also either the parent really didn't like it or the kids were kind of fighting against it. And it's interesting because that wasn't our experience. And so when I hear people talk, and really you can tell they really enjoy their Charlotte Mason approach or their classical approach, like I do get it, because I did actually think, oh, this is so, there's so much beauty in this and there's so many interesting things. And a couple of my kids really do like to have that sort of, I want to just kind of say a real rhythm. Like, and we have a rhythm in our kind of self-directed unschooling way as well, but they like to kind of have to know what's coming next. And so it's interesting that it actually worked quite well until it didn't. And so it's interesting because I think my reasons are actually very similar to yours, in that I started to notice also that it just wasn't where the real learning was happening. It was getting in the way of real learning, of a deeper relationship. I guess even having more time to follow some of the paths that they were really passionate about. So like you guys, like both of you two, we did move out of it because it did start to feel just not as authentic as the actual learning they were doing. But I would say I had to look more deeply for it than I hear a lot of people say. There was no major battle. There was no, and I wonder if that's also because we had all those years of not using the curriculum first, that it felt different. It might've felt kind of fun for a while. Right. It's interesting.
That's what I would say. Yeah. I think because maybe your kids didn't have to go through the de-schooling process to get to the curriculum. My kids, you know, and maybe Ashley's as well, already, or at least your son, already had this preconceived notion about what it is to be forced to learn a specific thing at a specific time. And I wanted to also mention that I do not think that formal learning is a bad thing, like at all. I just want to underscore that off the bat, because the things that my son is interested in are not in a book. They're not in a textbook I can't even teach him the things he wants to learn. And so we have had to outsource that. And we have had him do a lot of, he's in a very rigid program actually for coding at the moment, and he loves it. So, but it's self-chosen, as you said, and I think that makes the world of difference. And if at any point he decides, I hate this, I don't want to do it anymore, we get the freedom to quit, which I think is the big difference, right, with unschooling. And yeah, that's really all I want to say about that. But yeah.
Yeah, I think that's huge. And, you know, as you were describing your children's experience, Jenna, I think another thing that comes up for me is my kids didn't have any fear attached to learning or performance. So there was no, we were just exploring something together. There was no performance expectation around it for them that would kind of have been triggered from any prior experience. So I'm sure that that's related to.
Yeah.
I agree so much with what you guys are saying. And before I forget, I agree 100%. I was thinking about that. I will be quite curious as my kids get older. I assume at some point we definitely will try out different curriculums for different things, and have to be careful when I talk about it, because curriculum didn't work for us, what we were doing at that stage. But I certainly see us using it as desired and as needed as we go. It makes me think about my son and his strength and interest in mathematical concepts. He's like, numeracy just comes naturally and easy for him. And when he was in grade one, maybe a little bit before, but kindergarten was play-based, so it would definitely have been more so in grade one, when he had to sit down and color in the number 5 on the worksheet and then draw or write a bunch of 5s, where he started coming home from school and saying, oh, I hate math. And I was just like, what do you mean you hate math? You're so good at math. Like, you're doing math all the time. I see you enjoy it lots. And I think that's what is happening. Like, when we came home, and it wasn't math that I was doing so much with him, it was reading, which is not something that he was interested in. Like, he's always loved me reading to him, but he didn't want to sit down. He wasn't ready to sit down and work on his
literacy skills and writing, especially. That is not something that he was interested in at all. So it's not even like it was the curriculum's fault. It's just that that's not, you know, maybe we will use that at some point. And the other thing I was thinking too was, I very much so think about how he led us down this path, and I'm so grateful for it because, and it's his personality. Whereas my younger one, it's always interesting to think if he had been born first, what that would look like. But, cause he now sees how his brother does things and learns and kind of likes to follow suit. But my younger one, I think if it had been him who, you know, came home in grade one and started homeschooling, I think our homeschooling would look quite different. I think he would have more happily sat down and done the activities with me, and it's more so his personality, and it would have been very different, I think. So I think it depends on the kids. And then the last thing I'll just add to, not to bounce all over the place, but what you were talking about as far as kids having to de-school, it's funny. I find it really interesting and definitely sad. Like my oldest who went to school for a few years or almost a few years, like now I describe it as school trauma that he has experienced, which I never would have referred to it during the time as that, or even a little bit afterwards. It's more so now with some reading that I've been doing where I just think back and go, oh my gosh, like no wonder you feel this way. And no wonder you resist even more. And I see it changing because it's been quite a while now. I mean, it's been a couple of years since he's been having to do any like forced learning or anything, but there's trauma there. And I think that does have a really big impact. And I mean, like I said, it was only a short period of time for him, but seemed to have a pretty big impact on him, that the school experience that he had.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to hear that, because that's a good segue. That's basically our big issue with our daughter, is the school trauma that she's endured, and she has not overcome it. And she hasn't been given the opportunity to de-school long enough to even get to that point. And she then chose school because of her schooling, she chose to go back to school. And so it's like this vicious cycle. And it's so hard as the mother to support it, even though I know that it's actually probably more detrimental. It's very challenging. She was not doing well, though, mentally. And it was a necessity on our part to put her back in a social scene. So it wasn't necessarily about the schooling at all, of course, but more about, okay, we're in a pandemic and the only option to see people every single day is to go to school. Like that was just legitimately the facts of the matter. So we were in this very unfortunate predicament. Do we send our kid to a school where we know she's had trauma before? And it could incur more trauma, but we then, you know, help her with the social piece that she so desperately wanted and needed and verbalized to us that she wanted. And it's just, you know, I feel like we have to be kind of careful. I guess my messaging here is like, we have to be kind of careful about making people feel in any way bad about any of the choices they make, because there's so many like nuances to people's life and what they're experiencing and what their kids are going through. And it's, you know, I really truly believe people try to make the best decisions for their unique situation. And so she's currently in school, and you know, there are so many things we absolutely hate about it, but at the same time, she has almost fully recovered from all of her trauma. And it's just hard. I don't know. The balance is real. And I don't really know what I'm saying here other than that it's just, I don't know. Trauma, school trauma is very challenging to overcome, and not everyone has that opportunity to de-school long enough to even get to a point of healing. So I'm happy to hear that your son has like this time and this window, and he is willing to continue to homeschool so he can heal from it. But it's challenging when your kids are going a different direction and also need it, you know. I don't know. It's tricky.
Oh, thanks, Jenna. Yeah, I appreciate that because it's not actually something I've talked much about. And I'm really sorry to hear about your daughter because I know you shared like little, I knew she was back in school, but yeah, I didn't know the background to that. And it is. And I would imagine, I mean, I don't know if I'm right in this, but imagine the older you are when you experience trauma and the longer, the more challenging that can be. And yeah, as the parent, I mean, it's just, you just want what's best for them. And it is really tricky. And it, my son, who I've been referring to mostly, my oldest son, we've been thinking more recently about his social needs too. And I'm very careful to talk about that because I absolutely think homeschool kids and unschooled kids can socialize because I know that that's a thing that many people worry about. Well, are they going to have any friends? But that has, I think that's one of the talking points today is, you know, challenges for me with the pandemic was, and it's growing because my kids are getting older, but my oldest son, what I wanted to say here was, we're recognizing he does have social needs, maybe more so than me, maybe more so than his brother. He really lights up when he just has unstructured playtime with friends. And we're starting to see like maybe we need to give him more and more of those opportunities. And it does sometimes feel like, well, if you were at school, you'd be around kids all the time. But I also know that that's not, he wouldn't get to socialize the way he wanted to at school. So that wouldn't solve the problem, but maybe in the future for him that I could see that being a conversation our family has as well.
Yeah. And, you know, I think what's something that was unique for us and maybe other people experienced during the pandemic was, so we started homeschooling and then we were in lockdown pretty much the entire time we were in England, which is partially why that didn't work for us. But, and then we moved back to the States. My kids, you know, don't have any friends in any of these places already, fostered, you know. It's like, I think it's so different for homeschooling families who were already in a bubble of friends and they could maybe even like see them through a window or like have little pockets of, you know, I heard of a lot of families who would just be like, okay, we'll test. And it's just our families that are exchanging kids and things like that. And they were finding ways to get around that or also families who have more children. So like there's five kids in your family, then you maybe do have someone to play with all the time. Versus my two who have nothing in common and do not interact at all, hardly. They're just totally night and day. And so it was just the most lonely situation I can describe for my daughter. And I mean, I was even lonely and I'm an adult and I can understand it much better, but she was just suffering so much. And so now that she's in school, it's not that the school part gives her a lot of socialization time. Like you said, Ashley, like that's not the time that they actually get to do the socializing that they want to do. But it's the fact that she was able to meet a group of people all at once at one time around her age that are going through similar things as her. And now she has their phone numbers and she goes to their houses for sleepovers and she's getting invited to dances. And, you know, that age is particularly different, I think, too. So I do think there were just a lot of like, it was a domino effect of like tragic things that happened. You know, she had the school trauma and then we had isolation and then we moved to a foreign country and then we moved back to her home country, but she didn't know her home country anymore. I mean, there's just so many layers there, but I don't know. I think the socialization piece is multifaceted. I don't think there's like one, yes, you have enough socialization in homeschool or you don't, but the pandemic truly did make it challenging. I'm just, you know, that was the case for us. And it was unique. And I don't know if we had chosen to homeschool 2 years prior, 2 years after, it could have been a completely different situation. But now she has the stigma about homeschooling, that it's lonely, and that, you know, we have forced curriculum, because like I said before, we started with this curriculum, and she also sees, you know, media has influenced her. And I don't know if some of your kids have that, but, you know, she sees people going to high school dances and proms and all of that. And in our homeschooling group, it's very evident that girls are more susceptible to wanting that type of lifestyle in those age groups, because almost all the girls in our homeschooling group are now in school and all the boys are still at home. There are four of us who have girls who have chosen to go to school at that age, like 8th, 9th grade. And so I think social, you know, like our social norms tell us that this is important, and having a boyfriend and having sleepovers and all of that stuff is like, not that you can't have that with homeschooling, of course, but it's always, of course, shown in the hallways of a school, which how many times do you get to actually linger in the halls of your school and hang out with your boyfriend? You know, the way it's portrayed in movies. But anyway, that's what she desires, because that's what she thinks is what society, you know, values. So it's just so tricky.
Yeah. And I, you know, it's interesting because I have felt that had to have been one of the huge challenges is not having that pre-established social circle and opportunities. And I think that even for kids that had a solid homeschool social circle, even though they didn't necessarily get to see them all of a sudden, they still have that memory. They still have that, that's kind of within them, that they know that they have this really established group of friends. And I think it was probably much easier. You know, I know for us, we would get together for hikes, or a lot of homeschool kids were already tapping into lots of virtual things. So, you know, my daughter was in a couple of virtual classes. And so that didn't seem like as big of a shift either. So, yeah, I mean, to try to suddenly organize things with families and all the various, like the comfort levels people had or not around getting together in different spaces is hard for me to imagine, to just come into that during that period of time. Yeah, absolutely. And I think too, you know, so much of it, like you kind of touched on it, well, you both have. So much of it is about the individual personality of our kids too, as far as what they're needing, what they're wanting, what they're craving, how interested or not they are in what they see portrayed on shows or movies. I mean, it sounds like your son, Jenna, probably couldn't care less about that. But that for your daughter, those are pieces she wants to experience, right? So yeah, so many variables. My gosh.
Yeah. And she has talked about you know, finishing up her middle school days and then homeschooling after that. I think it's on her mind, but she just I also, you know, like you said, Erin, earlier, that, you know, your kids kind of wanted to know what was coming next. And I can really relate to that, because that, you know, my son doesn't care. He doesn't need a schedule. He's just a more easygoing person in general. He just is kind of like fly by the seat of his pants kind of a guy. And my daughter is more, you know, she's like very goal oriented, and she has like this idea of what she expects of herself. And so if she's not working toward a goal, she like loses purpose, and she feels like it just can't be too frou-frou, and like, you know, it doesn't work for her. She doesn't feel like she's achieving enough or being productive enough. And I do think that that's, of course, societal pressure. I don't think that that's all her personality. There's probably a little mix of that, but that was challenging with unschooling, because I was like, okay, I want to value what she needs, but then I also don't want to sit down and force her to do things. And that's boring for me to sit down and like try to go through a curriculum. So So yeah, you know, it kind of made sense just going back to school for now and recalibrating and at least getting her mental health to a point where we felt confident that if we did go back to homeschooling, she's like at a good spot, you know? And you know, we're trying to make other friends and stuff in our area before we would ever plunge back into that. We've talked about, you know, bringing it up to her and it's like, okay, actually, I think it's best if we just wait a bit and let her have some time. And we don't want regression. So it's just like, yeah, that's the situation.
Yeah. And I think too, I mean, and I should just clarify, it's really only one or maybe two of my kids that really kind of like to know what's coming next. I would say I'm more familiar, Jenna, probably with where your son is at as far mm-hmm. as, you know, being pretty self-directed. But, and I think, you know, even for kids who do like to have a little more structure and have a sense of what's coming up next, it takes, and I think you're alluding to this, it takes time for them and for us to figure out what that can look like in a really open, free environment, because that isn't the way our society is set up. That's not the way that, most of us have been brought up. So it's not that it's not possible, which is what I hear you saying, but it really does require that time and that relationship, which I think the benefit for you guys, it sounds like your daughter, she knows it's a choice, and that's huge. I just think that's huge.
That's the only thing that brings me solace is, you know, knowing that if and when things aren't good, she knows she can come home. And it's been interesting too. I want to say that, and I've mentioned it on my podcast actually, because it's just kind of fascinating to me. But because we practice unschooling at home in all aspects, right? So like lifestyle and relationship and trust and openness and honesty and all of the things, like apologizing and trying to be shame free and honoring who they are, all of those things have changed the way that she interprets things that come in from the school system. So like, for example, when one of her teachers told a kid in her class to sit like a lady, she came home and told me that was very sexist of my teacher to say that. And she questions. So like it gives me a little bit of like comfort knowing that, you know, as long as we're at home, we're practicing this unschooling lifestyle, she is going to at least question and be curious about things. And, you know, she's also come home recently and said, history is really boring in school. And it's funny because that's one of her favorite topics. She, you know, chooses to watch these really long documentaries about history and learn like, and read, you know, like autobiographies and, historical fiction novels and things like that. She loves them, but it's just funny to me that she's realizing herself and making the decision, or not the decision, but the realization that, oh, you know, actually I don't like learning about it this way. So I'm hoping she'll be self reflective enough that she can determine what would be the right educational philosophy for her to pursue in the later years, you know? And if it is school, then at least she's open eyed and, yeah, questioning.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I love that you're kind of thinking ahead around the social piece, just, you know, getting to know other people and kind of having that, the word that comes to mind is kind of cushion. But having that foundation, I guess, of some other social opportunities, because you know that is something that's important to her. Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of pulling her out. It's a matter of thinking, you know, what can we keep working toward and keep building a little bit and see if that's interesting to her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ashley, how about you? Are there any other challenges that have come to mind, or has that been a main one?
Yeah, I think, yeah,
And it hasn't been a huge, like, finding connection hasn't been a huge challenge for us. So like for the first year of the pandemic, I really didn't find it challenging at all at the very beginning, because I just found, I don't know, we really enjoyed our time, like me and the boys together. Their dad would be at work most of the time, and we actually really fell in love with spending time outside during that time. So we would go on all of our hikes, and you know, sometimes we would run into other people at the park, and depending on, like, you know, whether we were in lockdown or not, it wasn't until like a little bit, like maybe after, well, actually even like that was the winter time. Then we got into summertime and we did get to, they did get to play with kids a little bit here and there. So it wasn't so much of an issue because school was out. And then we eventually made the decision where I was like, okay, you know, pandemic's still happening at this point. Who knows when it will end? I need to prioritize meeting other homeschool families here for us to get together with. And it wasn't easy. I had to put a lot of effort in. It's not a strength of mine. I can't say it's something I enjoyed. It's like dating, like you're just trying to connect with other people, hoping that it goes well. And it's just not my thing. But I knew that we needed to do that, not just for them, but for me as well. And we had some success and we met lots of wonderful people. It's just, it is hard to like to get the kids together often enough and during the pandemic that they can really start to form a friendship. But I think because mine were younger too, even now, it's just my oldest who's developing like those real friendships that are a little bit more longer lasting. Whereas before it was like, as long as there's someone there to play with, we're happy. And they had each other too. And they played together. They still play together quite a bit. But they did a lot that first year of the pandemic. So that helped. And then I think maybe the only other challenge that I noticed and that I think would have made a difference if we had started homeschooling, say before the pandemic or after, was like the library was closed. My youngest one, for some reason, really wanted to go to a museum for the longest time during the pandemic. And I'm like, they're closed. So is those like outings, like we really were at home. Whereas like now we homeschool, but we're never at home. I mean, we love our home days, but we're out a lot. And, you know, you want to go to the zoo and you want to go, I love the library. And I feel like that's where I wanted to be taking them, because it wasn't a huge outing, but it was away from home. And those things were all closed. So I felt like, you know, there weren't the homeschool meetups so much. We couldn't go to places, especially like here, it can be cold and yucky out many days. You want a break inside somewhere. And because of the pandemic, those just weren't options for us. Now they are more so. And so it's funny because I feel like we're not really brand new at home education anymore. We're getting along the first little bit of ours, but we're still kind of experiencing some of things for the first time because the pandemic's, you know, made things change along the way. But I can't think of any other real challenges really.
And it's interesting because I can relate, like, you know, the library would be one where they're open again, but there's still a different energy than there used to be, you know. In fact, the last public place that we were before we were at the library when we started hearing about everything closed down. And it was a place where we would meet people and, you know, maybe the kids would go play basketball because there were sports facilities there as well. And then we'd be in a study room and it was just so easy. You're in and out of study rooms. Some kids are here, some kids are there. And so things are open again. But I'm finding there's a different energy around it. You don't just run up to the water fountain in the same way that you used to. So I can even relate to some of that. But again, I have a memory of it being very different. And so my memory of home education is this real freedom, right? Coming in and out of places and maybe a parent picking a bunch of kids up and there was just nothing to think about. And now, things are open, but that level of kind of here and there and everywhere is still quite different. So I would imagine, you know, coming from your perspective, it really would, things are open, but it still wouldn't have that same feeling of freedom, I would think.
That was actually the second layer I totally left out that I forgot about with my daughter, because our whole, you know, when I described homeschooling, you know, I was trying to psych them up and, before we moved, I was like, we're going to move to England and then we get to go and like see Scotland and Ireland and Wales, and we'll travel to Portugal. And like, I had all these like trips planned, and then we didn't do any of that. So my daughter felt a little bit lied to. I mean, she was like, what is happening? And then of course, yeah, I had told her, oh, we'll go to London at least once a month, and we'll, you know, go to the Natural History Museum, and there's a wax museum there. And I mean, there's so much history in London that you can explore, and none of that happened. So that was another added like insult to injury, and her like perception of homeschooling was like, this is not fun. You know, but sometimes it's just so regretful to me, you know, because I think, what would it have been like? What would we be doing right now? And what would her mental health be like if we had the experience we were meant to have? And it saddens me. It really does, because I don't want to like look back at the past. It is what it is. And, you know, I try to be more forward thinking and, you know, just positive, but it's hard to stomach. It really is sometimes, because I think our experience would have been drastically different. And I think she would have blossomed, actually. I think she would have just, you know, exploded in imaginative creativity and fun. But yeah.
Yeah, it does sound like she would have. So that's hard, right? It's
yeah,
it is what it is, but it's still hard.
And this ends our conversation today. We hope you found it interesting and maybe helpful. If you'd like to connect further or see additional content, Haley can be found on the web and on Instagram at Taking a Kinder Path. Erin can be found at Everlearning. And I, Ashley, can be found on Instagram at AshleyAsMama and at Storytime Shelves. We'd be very grateful if you'd share this conversation with anyone you think might appreciate it. Thank you for your time today.